You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
If you look back through the history of Arkansas and the SEC, 8-win regular seasons are not very common. In fact, the Razorbacks have only done it 9 times in their 30 years since they joined the SEC. This year being the 9th time, it was their first time to do that in 10 years. I think that puts a lot of perspective into the type of season that Sam Pittman and his team just finished in 2021. Season's not over. The Razorbacks are going to go to a bowl game, probably a pretty good bowl game. We'll find out on Sunday afternoon when the bowl announcements are made. Matt Jones with Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated and Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. Razorbacks coming off a 34-17 win over Missouri last Friday at Razorback Stadium. It was a close game at halftime, but in the second half, as we've seen a few times with Arkansas this year, they were really able to pull away and play well after halftime. They've been a pretty good second half team this year, and they showed that against Missouri. Clay, we were all there freezing on the front row of the press box. What were your takeaways from the win over Missouri last week?
Well, you never know from one week to the next how teams are going to match up, you know, what one team's strength will play to another team's weaknesses. And, you know, Arkansas in several of their SEC games have not had favorable matchups, their cornerbacks against the opposition's wide receivers, but they did in this game. And I think Missouri's wide receivers really have slumped in the last 2 to 3 years. That's where their recruiting has fallen off probably the most in the transition of coaching staffs. And Hudson Clark did well in a starting position, and so did Monteric Brown. And that really enabled Arkansas to snuff out what little passing game Missouri has. And they had no choice but to just hand the ball off to Tyler Beatty. And you know, he averaged under 3 yards per carry. And, you know, while he made some yards, that led to a dominant victory. You just never felt like Missouri had a chance to hit any big plays.
It seems like that's always been the way in the series, is that you feel like no lead is safe for Arkansas, but it didn't feel that way last week. I mean, you think about 2016 when they blew a 17-point lead, or 17, they blew a 14-point lead. They blew a lead in 2020. It felt to me like whenever they got up about 24-6 or something like that, that with the way that the defense was playing, Missouri really had no chance. Scotty, it was a really cool day, I thought, for Barry Odom and all the Missouri ties on the defensive side of the ball, players like Sam or coaches like Sam Carter and Michael Shearer, players like Markell Utsi, Trey Williams. It seemed like they were all pretty motivated to have a big day against the Tigers.
Yeah, I think you're right. And no, it was about as good of a birthday present as Barry Odom could have asked for, I think. And you saw some emotion from him and, you know, a lot of the guys on the defensive side of the ball. I remember there was a video, I think Russell Schapp put it on Twitter after the game. Joe Fouché and a bunch of the other guys were kind of gathered around Barry Odom. And Joe Fouché was like, on three, we're going to say happy birthday, Coach Odom. And then, you know, they celebrated with him on the field. The defense was really good. And they, you know, they really tied one hand behind Missouri's back. Connor Bazelak was not good. And I wrote on our message board not long after the game that Missouri was one of the more one-dimensional teams that I feel like Arkansas had played this year, because, I mean, Missouri's lack of perimeter playmakers, I thought, really, really stood out. And their best offense was just turn around and hand the ball to Tyler Beatty. And that's a tough way to have to find offensive success. You know, like Clay said, 3 or 4 yards at a time. You know, Beatty did have a really good day, but it took the entire game for him to have a good game. And it didn't lead to much offensive success for Missouri. Arkansas's linebackers were awesome. Again, Bumper had 13 tackles. Hayden Henry had 10. Hayden had a tackle for a loss and a pass breakup, 2 quarterback hurries. He hit Connor Bazelak twice, about as hard as I think you can possibly hit somebody without drawing a penalty. And I thought Monteric Brown was good again. I think he's got a case. I don't know how strong it is, but I think he's tied for the league lead in picks with five. He came up with another interception. He's had a really good year, and I think he's made a lot of money, especially down the stretch of the season.
It's hard for cornerbacks to get interceptions. Usually you're going to see a lot of them. It's safety. And it was clear for most of the season that teams were going away from Monterick, and he made big plays. And if you want to kind of roll through three games, the play that he made at LSU, and then the strip fumble against Alabama that gave the offense a chance to tie it up or go for the lead late in the Alabama game, and then the interception against Missouri that pretty much sealed that game. Those are game deciding plays, or in the Alabama case, it could have been, but you just rarely do you see a cornerback make that number of plays three straight games this late in the season.
Missouri just finished with 316 yards. 58 of those came on the last drive when it seemed like Arkansas was kind of playing a little bit of a prevent defense. They had some backups in there. The game was well in hand by that point, 34-9. Arkansas was leading when Missouri took the ball the last time. If you take that drive away, Arkansas held Missouri to 258 yards in 65 plays. And in today's game, that is an incredible, incredible defensive performance. Offensively, great game for the Razorbacks. Clay and I were talking about it throughout the game. All of their scoring drives included one big play. I think there was a chunk play of at least 32 yards on each drive. I can think of a big screen pass to Davion Warren and a reverse to Warren. Treylon Burks had a long touchdown pass and another long catch that got him down inside the 10-yard line. There was a big run in there. The chunk plays were really the difference in that game, but you get a few of them with the way your defense is playing, and that's the recipe for a win, Clay.
Yeah, the way Missouri played, they decided to take away the run, and they played very few teams this year played that heavy of a box. And so what happens is if you can pop the line of scrimmage or you can protect, you're going to have a big play with the speed Arkansas has at the skill position. I think that, of course there was a long run by KJ Jefferson. He seems to have one of those every week. And it was a big play. I think Arkansas averaged 8 yards a snap, which is incredible. It probably would have, led to more points if they hadn't decided to slow it down a little bit in the fourth quarter and run the ball. It was a throttling because of the big plays. And again, you pick your poison, and I don't think too many teams this year wanted to put their defensive backs on an island against Treylon Burks. That's sure death. And I can remember UAPB loaded the box with eight and played zero safeties, and that game was over pretty fast. Missouri did pretty much the same thing with a little bit better players in the secondary, but you're asking for trouble, and you put all the receivers in one-on-one coverage, and that's what Missouri did. That's why the big plays were what they were.
Now, turning around and handing the ball off has been really Arkansas's bread and butter on offense. I mean, that's all season. I mean, that's what they ideally want to do. You want to pick up maybe 4, 5, 6 yards on first down and get ahead of schedule, and then maybe, hit teams with some play action type stuff down the field. But Missouri, like Clay said, they stacked the box and they pretty much took, Arkansas's running backs out of the game. But I thought Arkansas did a good job of throwing some wrinkles in the run game. You got Davion Warren involved, and he ended up with a 32-yard run that kind of, maybe loosened that defense up a little bit. KJ had a 49-yard run. So that was pretty impressive, I thought. And then, KJ, he hit four passes of 15 plus yards for 189 yards. And see, one went to Treylon, one went to Davion Warren, another to Treylon, and another to Keetron Jackson. I thought the ball that he threw to Keetron Jackson rolling to his left, and then he hit Keetron along the sideline, I thought that was maybe one of his better throws of the year. That was a phenomenal ball. KJ, again, just had another efficient day, and, you throw in a couple of the runs that he had and the efficiency that he threw the ball with, I mean, that's how you have a pretty good day offensively.
So Arkansas went 3-for-3 in trophy games. They beat A&M, they beat Missouri, they beat LSU. I don't know that winning the trophies are as big of a deal as it is just the fact that they beat those teams. I look at the SEC West kind of in a hierarchy. You've got Alabama, obviously, at the top, LSU and Auburn, and then there's Arkansas, the Mississippi schools, and I consider A&M in this class. And you're just kind of, you know, jostling for position on an annual basis. And, you know, there for so long, Arkansas was losing to A&M. And obviously, you know, they were losing to LSU, losing to Missouri from the SEC East. And so that keeps them kind of at the bottom of the West. You beat those teams now, and it kind of puts you back on level footing, you know, to where now if you want to get up to that Alabama level, I know they played Alabama well this year, you got to beat those type of teams first. And I think that's what was significant about winning those games.
You're right, Matt. And I think you have to throw in the Texas victory too. And anytime you beat Texas the way they did and almost by 3 touchdowns, you're probably setting yourself up for a good season. I think, you know, maybe not a great Texas team, but they were ranked at the time and had turned some heads a little bit with the way they played in the early goings. And you know, I think Arkansas exposed some of their weaknesses. The other teams capitalized on the same things. But the victories over Texas and Texas A&M are huge. And I think it was huge for both national perception and confidence of fans. And, you know, when you have a sellout stadium or you travel the way they did to Arlington and then you play well, people are going to make decisions to come back and watch you play. And there's some other choices in Arkansas in the fall. I mean, hunting being one of them. But it's pretty clear that Arkansas fans decided that the Razorbacks were worth their time and worth their money. And then I think the team responded to that. And, you know, I think Sam talked about that after the Texas game, that you earned the respect of your fans by the way they played. And, you know, it's the same thing happened through the year. Really, there's only one blip in the season, the way they played at Georgia. I think you can pick out strengths in all the other games. You know, you had a little bit of a lull against Auburn, you know, with the turnover that caused the flip in momentum for that game, the strip sack in the end zone. But it's hard to find too much else to find fault with this Arkansas team as they went through their SEC schedule.
I'm not even sure that loss to Georgia is that much to hang your head about. I know 37 points, that's a big loss, but that's an incredible Georgia team this year. I could almost make an argument, Clay, that I think the Auburn loss might have been worse just because it was at home, and as a 6-6 Auburn team, you look back on that, that's really the one that I think you shake your head about and say, that one in the Ole Miss game because of the way the game ended, those are the two games I think you shake your head about and say, those are probably the two that got away.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that Auburn game really turned on an unlucky series of events. First of all, you had a 59-yard punt, and it was because Nathan Perotti, who had been just spectacular in the way decision-making, and he let a ball hit in front of him, and apparently he didn't see it, you know, that he lost it in the sun. And that ball went to the 11-yard line, and that was right after Arkansas had kind of reclaimed the momentum, scored 2 touchdowns to get the lead, and the game just kind of slipped away really quickly at that point. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to get the momentum back from, you know, once you've won it and given it away like that. And Auburn seemed to, you know, that was by far the best game that Auburn's wide receivers played the whole season. I think they had one drop. They had 13 drops, 5 of them probably touchdown plays in the previous 2 weeks. And it's like, well, how do you figure that? They're suddenly going to catch all the balls because they hadn't done that.
So I mentioned this at the start. There have only been 9 seasons when Arkansas won 8 regular season games. Now, up for about the first 10 years of when they were in the SEC, they didn't play 12 games. And so, you know, there were some years where they only won 7. 1999 being one of those years when they went 8-4, beat Texas in the Cotton Bowl. That gave them their eighth win. Here are the other years, though, when they won at least eight games in the regular season. 1995, they were the SEC West champions. 1998, Houston Nutt's first year, of course, started 8-0, won 9 regular season games. 2002, when they were SEC West champions, they won 8. 2003, another good year. They won 8 games, won 9 when you count the bowl. 2006, they were division champions. Of course, had that long winning streak during the regular season after the loss to USC. 2007, when they beat LSU in Baton Rouge, that gave them their 8th regular season win. 2010 and 11 under Bobby Petrino. And that's it, Scotty, until you get to this season. And those are all years, I think, that we remember really fondly about Razorback football. We'll see how the bowl game goes this year. You know, we'll talk about bowls here in just a minute and the bowls that we think they could potentially make. This is going to be one of those years I think people remember really well, given where the program had been. I mean, this blows my mind. They won 8 regular season games this year. They had won 7 games combined the last 3 seasons.
It really is remarkable. And, you know, you guys were talking about some of the games that maybe will define this season a little bit. Obviously, you won your 3 trophy games. And then Clay obviously had to mention the win over Texas. I think that game really set the tone in a way for, I feel like, what you could come to expect from Arkansas in future games. Like, Arkansas clearly worked out some of the kinks after the Rice game, and KJ Jefferson, you know, even though he did throw a pick against Texas, you know, the pick that he threw was an incredible play by the Texas linebacker that came away with the ball. Other than that, I mean, KJ was clean. He made some really, really good throws that made you believe that he was settling in and could really be the guy to lead the offense, both passing the ball, you know, as a leader in the huddle. And then he could also make some plays with his feet too. Like, I remember he had a couple runs against Texas where you're just like, and this kid is, I feel like he's starting to arrive and he's starting to thrive in the role that he's been given in the job that he won. And Sam Pittman was confident that he could do it really well. And then defensively, like, they just hit Texas in the mouth. They limited, for the most part, that run game. And Bijan Robinson came in as one of the hottest tailbacks in the country, I think, and they shut him down. And I just think that game right there just told you a lot about Arkansas's toughness. And then week after week, you know, with the exception of the Georgia game, obviously, you know, I think you saw Arkansas play, you know, at a pretty good clip, and they gave themselves a chance to win. I mean, just about every week. I mean, they were pretty much in every ball game, which is, that's a very, very far cry from what we've seen in recent years.
That's right on the money, Scotty. And I think that, just to kind of simplify things, the measure and stick for Arkansas really over the last 50 years has been 2 teams. One, Texas. You beat Texas, dominated Texas. And then of late, it's been Alabama. And, you know, Alabama's, you know, a top 2 team for the whole season. You know, part of the year they challenged Georgia with some first place votes. But Arkansas went to Alabama and went toe-to-toe with the Tide. And you would have to say came out of there with their pride intact. And there's been so many times they've come out of there, you know, pretty much, you know, with their tail between their legs. And this was a case where they felt like the clock ran out on them and that they had a chance to win. And I think that's something Arkansas fans and Alabama fans are keenly aware of, that how much Arkansas has closed the gap with Alabama. And that's who, you know, the SEC West goes through Tuscaloosa. And I heard, you know, some Arkansas people talk about, well, next year we get Alabama at home. I hadn't heard that kind of a talk in a long time leaving that stadium.
You know, if you went into the season and you told an Arkansas fan that, or you asked an Arkansas fan, how many games do you think Arkansas will be competitive in? You'd probably hear the number 6 or 7 thrown around. I mean, you figured that Arkansas might have a chance if KJ Jefferson, you know, panned out and played well at the quarterback spot, that, you know, they would probably be fighting for bowl eligibility at the very least. Arkansas was competitive in 11 games this year. And that's just, to me, in year two under Sam Pittman, I was expecting some progress. I don't think I was expecting them to compete in virtually, you know, every ball game they played. That's pretty incredible.
I think one of the strengths of this team is, you know, flip from last year, that was one of the weaknesses, and that's special teams. And when you talk about Cam Little and Vito Calvaruso, the consistency in the way Arkansas handled kicks, except for the Georgia game, which was completely a bust on all three, you know, sides of the ball, defense, offense, and special teams. I thought special teams were phenomenal. And Cam Little being able to hit clutch field goals is a critical aspect of where this team improved. And it gives you a chance to win close games. And they won several close games. They did not lose any games because of their kicking game. I can't say that you would, with perfect kicking, you still wouldn't have won at Georgia. But they put themselves in position to win by being clean in the kicking game. And that's, you know, they even blocked a punt this year. So, you know, when you start to look around and how did they win some games? Well, Mississippi State was purely kicking game. So that's another check mark in the Sam Pittman era. He's cleaned up the special teams for the first time in a long time.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Visit them online at gocallbud.com.
Bud Anderson is proud to be the official heating and cooling provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. This partnership will support all Razorback athletics for over 400 student athletes across 19 sports. Whoopee!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
Back in November when Arkansas became bowl eligible, we talked about what bowls were kind of possible for this team. And at that time, we said that we thought the Citrus Bowl was out of reach and said that there were some things that could still happen. You know, Arkansas was going to have to finish the season strong. They did, and other things happened. Texas A&M lost a couple of times in November, a game that at the time really people thought was a toss-up between A&M and Ole Miss. And then, of course, they had the – I don't think you can spin it any other way – just a bad loss in Baton Rouge at the end of the season when they did not play well. And then LSU scored a touchdown at the end to win it. Kentucky lost a game to Tennessee in November that kind of affects them. And so now when you look at the Citrus Bowl, it seems like it's a three-team decision that the Citrus Bowl is going to have to make between Arkansas, A&M, and Kentucky. Now, Kentucky was in the Citrus Bowl 3 years ago. Some of the bowl games, I don't know if the Citrus is like this, but some of them don't like to have teams, you know, too regularly because they feel, I think, that it probably takes a little bit of the shine off of their bowl game. Arkansas hasn't been to Orlando since 2006. That was the division championship year when they had McFadden and Felix Jones. A&M's never been to Orlando for a bowl game. They've never played in it since it was the Citrus Bowl, Capital One Bowl, Tangerine Bowl, any of those. They've never played in Orlando for a bowl game. Clay, how strong do you think Arkansas's candidacy is for the Citrus Bowl? And if they fall beyond the Citrus Bowl, there's a pretty good feeling, I think, among most of us that they might get into another one of those Florida Bowls, whether it's the Gator Bowl or the Outback Bowl in Tampa.
Yeah, all three of those are coveted, and you're talking about warm water, warm destinations, as opposed to, you know, the Liberty or Nashville, where it's you know, going to be a little bit cooler. But I think they sit pretty good. I I think that they're going to look at ticket sales and what Arkansas has sold, how many people they think they can bring. And they know that number. It's not, you know, the fans are sent their list of bowl preferences and where they would buy tickets. In other words, they're already sold, and you'll sell some more. And I think you probably will have some fans that are jumping on the bandwagon because of the way the team played. And, you know, after you see the matchup, you might like it. They're fill in the blanks. But Arkansas is the highest ranked of those teams that are in consideration for the Citrus, and just comes down. That is one of the few that Sankey pretty much, Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, will select teams for bowls based on what he thinks is best for the conference. But the Citrus remains kind of independent of those thoughts, that they can choose their team. So, you know, Arkansas looks like an attractive team to me. Sam Pittman is, you know, you can sell that to the local fans that buy tickets in Orlando. That's another part. These bowls, you know, they have to get their local folks revved up to come to the game, because that's about half of what the tickets that are sold, especially for Orlando. And if it's not a good matchup, and so that would affect the local sales.
Real quick, if you don't know the bowl selection process for the SEC, it goes like this. If there are SEC teams in the college football playoff, the Sugar Bowl gets the next highest ranked team. And so, say, for instance, if Georgia beats Alabama this weekend, Alabama falls out, Alabama would go to the Sugar. Say Alabama and Georgia both get into it, Ole Miss is going to be in the Sugar Bowl. Ole Miss is probably going to be in a New Year's Day Bowl or one of those New Year's Six Bowls this year. If they don't get to the Sugar, you know, probably going to be in something like the Fiesta, maybe the Peach this year. And then the Citrus Bowl gets the first pick of the remaining teams. After that, everybody falls into what they call the Group of Six Bowls this year. That's the Duke's Mayo Bowl, formerly the Belk Bowl in Charlotte, Gator Bowl, Outback Bowl, Texas Bowl, Liberty Bowl, Music City Bowl. So that's kind of where Arkansas is in terms of bowl selection going into this. If they were to play someone in the Citrus Bowl, there's a lot of belief that it would be Iowa. If Iowa loses to Michigan this weekend at the Big Ten Championship game, if they were to play in the Outback Bowl, you know, some of the teams that I've seen potentially mentioned there are Michigan State, Wisconsin. It's going to be a Big Ten opponent in Tampa. And then in Jacksonville, it's going to be an ACC opponent this year. A lot of people are saying that they think Clemson could get into the Gator Bowl, and Clemson has really gotten on a roll over the second half of the season. And so those are just some of the possibilities that Arkansas has as a bowl game. Clay mentioned that they're all warm weather bowls. I think Jacksonville is one of those cities where it has a tendency to feel kind of like it does in Arkansas that time of the year. You never know what you're going to get. I think once you get south of Tallahassee, that's where you get into the warmer weather, cities like Orlando and Tampa. And here we are talking about it being cold, and I'm wearing shorts and a T-shirt on December the 3rd, thinking about going out and mowing the yard here in a little bit. I sent my kids to school today, Clay, in their shorts. It's a really nice day here in Arkansas.
Yeah, it may get close to 80 degrees. And, this is cutting into my fishing time, I want you to know. So, if there's a question, Jacksonville, the coldest I've ever been for a Florida bowl was in Jacksonville one year. I covered Oklahoma State, and you did not want to be on the beach if you didn't have fleece on. And I'm not sure the fleece even existed in that period. I'm kind of dating myself, pre-fleece weather. So, if you ask me my vote, I say Orlando or Tampa or Houston. Otherwise, bring your thermals.
Arkansas hasn't played in the Gator Bowl since the early 80s, the game that they played in the fog.
Pre-fleece. I think
against North Carolina, right, Clay? North Carolina, they played in the fog.
That was in the fog, yeah.
Yeah, and they have never played in the Outback Bowl.
No, as of right now, I would say that Arkansas has got a better case than Texas A&M right now. I feel like something that these bowl committees or the people who are making the decisions might take into consideration is, you know, like recent games that these teams have played. And, you know, A&M has lost two of their last three games. Arkansas finished its regular season pretty strong. So I think Arkansas does have a decent shot at that Citrus Bowl. I think that would be pretty interesting. It would be some pretty smash mouth football if Arkansas ends up in that Citrus Bowl and play in Iowa. I think that would be a really intriguing game if Arkansas and Iowa end up playing each other, because Arkansas ended this regular season really well, like I said, and Iowa, you know, if they lose in the Big Ten championship game, and they were still playing in the Big Ten championship game, I mean, that'd be a pretty quality game. And I think a lot of people would be, you know, maybe a little bit excited for it. I think Spencer Hall would probably like it, just because there'd be probably lots of whomping going on in that game. You might see lots of 8 and 9 man lines on both sides. I think Kentucky does have a pretty good case too, because they had a 9-win regular season. I'm looking at some projections on CBS Sports. They've got Arkansas playing Wake Forest in the Gator Bowl. That would be a pretty good game too, I think. I think Wake Forest, that's not really a name that a lot of people, you know, think about when it comes to football, but they've had a pretty good year too. And there might be quite a few points scored in that game.
One of the things that you look at in bowl matchup is, was it going to be a show? You know, is it going to hold TV sets? And, you know, what are the ratings going to be? And not just ticket sales, but I think Arkansas with KJ Jefferson is a better sell than Texas A&M with Calzada. I mean, you ask me if A&M can put on a show, I don't think so. They've got a good defense. But I think that serves Arkansas well in some of these discussions.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. A couple of things to note coming up this week. The Burlsworth Trophy is going to be given out Monday night at Crystal Bridges in Bentonville. Of course, Grant Morgan is a finalist for that award. We'll see if he can be the first Arkansas player who's ever won it. Stetson Bennett, the Georgia quarterback, also a linebacker from Troy, are finalists for that. We'll also get in the next week, all SEC teams will be released by the AP and the coaches. I figure to see quite a few Razorbacks on that list. We'll be back with another podcast next week to talk about the bowl game. For Clay Henry and Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us. Go visit us at wholehogsports.com. Also check out the basketball podcast of Mid-America. Basketball season in full swing, and that podcast is too. Have a great weekend, everyone.
The proceeding has been a production of wholehogsports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at wholehogsports.com for the latest news and commentary.